wanna stay in the sun where welcome back to the WRSU crew. Justin Santu, Jake Ostro behind the mic, and it is now time for a very special interview. We are getting the chance to talk to the all-time passing leader in Rutgers history, the starting quarterback from 2005 through 2008, Mike Teal. Mike, thanks so much for coming on and taking the time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate you taking the time today. We want to start off just a quick question. How much do you follow the Rutgers football team now after having graduated, you know, almost, I guess, over 10 years ago?
I think like any alum and any former player, you definitely follow them and you pay attention to who's around, the players and the schedule, the league, so on and so forth. This year, I've followed Rutgers more so than I have in the past, just because for the past couple of years, I've been coaching high school football and I'm not doing that anymore. Now I'm able to make it down to the games and I'm able to watch the games on TV, which I wasn't previously able to do.
So with your added focus on the team, what have your been impressions on the season so far?
Obviously it's been a little bit of a rough start. You know, the first game of the year, UMass comes in and they kind of jump out early. And then I think everyone kind of took a deep breath and settled in and they played well for the rest of the game. You go out to Iowa. It's going to be tough on the road. They're a really good team. They can run the football. They play really good defense. You know, then you can come back against Boston College. It's probably a game that you have to win. I think we match up pretty well against them. Talent-wise, we're probably in the same ballpark. So you have to win there, and then you go out to Michigan, and you know it is what it is. They're a team that's in the top of the Big Ten East, and frankly, we're a team that isn't right now. And you know it is what it is. So it's been a rough start, I think, obviously for a couple reasons, and then I think there's been some things that have shown that it's been a rough start. But it'll be interesting to see how they kind of bounce back and regroup and stick together. And you know, there's a lot of football left to play.
Before we get to Coach Campanile, the coaching search, your time at Rutgers, Art Sitkowski was the starting quarterback for Rutgers as a true freshman. He obviously struggled, but I think there were some comparisons drawn to you. You struggled a little bit in your redshirt freshman season and then were able to turn it around and eventually get drafted into the NFL. I guess what would your advice be to a quarterback like Art, having struggled, I guess, as a freshman, but knowing that there's the opportunity to turn it around?
I've talked with Art a bunch. Him and I have built a little bit of a relationship, which has been neat for me to kind of be involved and try to help give back that way. But, you know, I think the hardest position in all of sports is quarterback. And when you do it as a true freshman, God bless you, you're going to have things thrown at you that you're not ready for, that you've never seen before. And you haven't really developed enough mental skill and awareness to be able to handle a lot of that stuff. So it's tough. I think he's done a great job handling himself. It hasn't been easy for him. Obviously he's been hit a lot. He's been beat up a bunch. But I think he's really started to play well. And I think he's continued to work hard at it. I know he's a ball guy. He loves football. And I think he's done a much better job this year, after having really gained a full year of experience, and that's kind of what you expect. The more you play, the better you're going to get. And he's a talented kid, and I'm hoping that it kind of works out for him this year and he sticks around.
Well, that, I guess that leads right into the next point. So yeah, he's been putting some stuff together, but I don't know if you saw among the all the news that was coming out over the last week, but he talked to Coach Campanile about maybe taking a redshirt. Johnny Langan, the transfer from Boston College, is going to start tomorrow in his place as Art continues to look for that. He's decided to pursue the redshirt. So I kind of, was wondering, what are your thoughts on, sitting out the year and coming back next year potentially with a redshirt under your belt?
Yeah, it's a tough situation, I think, for Art. I think it's a tough situation for the team. And I think as you look at college football more and more, the players have to protect themselves. And in this case, I think Art is protecting himself. Is it the right decision to take a red shirt because of a coaching change or for whatever reason he might want to do that? I don't know. I think everyone has to make decisions on their own and they have to have reasons why they do it. And I'm sure he does. I haven't talked to him about it, nor will I talk to him about it. But You know, I think for him, if he's able to redshirt and hopefully whoever comes in as the next head coach, I think, you know, feels that he'll be a great fit for the offense. I think, and I hope that he stays and continues to develop and becomes a great player for us. But again, I think his priority has to be, you know, for himself, because at the end of the day, you know, there might be another coach that comes in and decides to change an offense where he doesn't fit. And now he's out of luck from, you know, day one with a new coach. So it'll be interesting to see how it all kind of works out.
Nunzio Campanelli on Sunday was named the interim head coach now going forward. From your time with him at Don Bosco Prep, I guess, in the early 2000s, what do you remember about the guy that is so affectionately called Coach Nunz? And I guess what characteristics does he bring to the table that'll make him successful now going forward as the interim coach at Rutgers?
Yeah, you know, he was a coach of mine that played a pretty significant role early on. I was a sophomore at Don Bosco and he was the offensive coordinator, and I actually wanted to transfer because I wanted to play. I was stuck behind our starter, who was a senior, who was a scholarship kid, who was going to California. And I felt that I had opportunities to go play elsewhere. And he kind of sat me down and kind of almost in a sense talked me into staying at Don Bosco. So he was instrumental in the early parts of my, you know, high school career and then throughout high school. So it was an important time for me. I think it'll be interesting, and I'm interested to see, you know, him at this level now kind of take over and run the program. He's got 8 weeks or eight games, however many weeks, to really kind of put his stamp on it. I'm sure this has been an opportunity for him that he's always wanted. Probably not the ideal way to have the opportunity, of course, but it'll be interesting to see how the team reacts and the team plays for him and how he goes about handling the role of the head coach. I think if any high school coach is ready, it would be a high school coach that's come out of the Big North, where he was at Bergen Catholic, where Don Bosco is, where St. Joe's is, and all these power New Jersey schools, because there's so many characteristics that carry over from the recruiting aspect to the fundraising aspect to the donor appreciation aspect that he'll be asked to do as the head coach of a Power 5 Big Ten school.
So you mentioned how the players are going to react. Now, he took over on Sunday. He's had the full week to prepare for Maryland. He took over a team that was pretty much in shambles, you know, before the coaching personnel changes were made. So what do you think his message is to the players? You know, your experience with Coach Nunz, you know, you worked with him through high school, and I'm sure he's that much tougher in college. What kind of coach is he in the locker room to try to motivate his guys?
No, I think any good coach, you know, including him, I think you want to get your players to play for you. You want to show them that you care about them. You want to show that that you want them to succeed. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge for an interim guy. I bet you half the guys on the defensive side of the ball, the players, I mean, have never really spoke with Nunz before. It's sometimes just the dynamic of a college, you know, team. The offensive guys and the offensive coaches are stuck and so focused on their guys that you don't get to really interact with a lot of the players on the other side of the ball. And he's only been down there for 2 years, so he hasn't recruited some of the upperclassmen that were there. So I'm interested to see how, you know, the defense comes out and plays. I think, you know, if more so now than ever, I think you're able to put together a rallying cry of sticking together and playing for each other. And I'm sure that's what he's kind of pitching to the team now. It's us against the world. And that's kind of the mindset I think you have to have. And if you do that, you know, great things happen. And, you know, I think the schedule aligns for him very well. The next five games are all winnable games. Will we win them all? Probably not. But they're all games that you should be able to compete in and really hopefully build some positive momentum for the team.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about your career. Being one of the top recruits in the state of New Jersey, coming from a powerhouse program like Don Bosco Prep, what was the recruiting process like for you? And I guess a follow-up to that, what made you ultimately decide to stay home and play for Rutgers?
You know, at the time when I was in high school, I remember as a sophomore watching Rutgers lose to West Virginia 80-7. It wasn't the cool thing to do, go to Rutgers and play football there. you know, I think Coach Schiano, who took over and had a vision for what New Jersey high school football, or excuse me, what New Jersey college football should be. I mean, we're in a pro market, but there's no reason why there shouldn't be a love for college football in this area. And there never really was the way he was able to kind of develop it. And I think he pitched all of the recruits, myself and all the other guys that I played with, on how special it would really be to stay home in your home state or in the tri-state and really turn something around and make it special. And, you know, I think you have to have such conviction and such a belief that that can actually happen. And he did, and you could feel that. And really for me, he kind of sold me the vision of staying home and playing in front of my friends and my family and winning games and being on national TV. And now you fast forward 3 years later in 2005 or 2006, and we're doing it on Thursday night against Louisville. And it was like, wow, this is why I stayed home to play college football.
So you talked about the recruiting with Schiano a little bit. When you got to Rutgers, was there one moment where you felt everything turned for the team? Because the program historically, you know, hadn't been to the level, nowhere near the level to where it was when you were, you know, in your prime in your later years at Rutgers. You know, at what point did you realize this is the new standard that Rutgers football has set?
I think probably in 2004 when we beat Michigan State. We ended up being 5-7 that year. We didn't go to a bowl game, but it was the first time, and I don't know how long the stadium was sold out. There was buzz about the program. We were playing a Big Ten opponent. You know, they came in, we beat them. You know, a week or two later, we ended up losing to New Hampshire. But for the first time, there was a buzz about the program. There was a vision, and there was a hope that we could kind of turn the corner. So I think that was the first important win for the program to be able to start to rally people behind us. I would think probably the next year when we beat Navy to become bowl eligible in 2005 for the first time since, I think it was 78, you know, over, you know, 15, 20 years, whatever it was, 25 years, to become bowl eligible and then go play out in Arizona. It's funny because our first bowl game that we've played in however long was probably the best bowl destination for our fans that we've been to since. So it was kind of a perfect storm for our fans to see what a bowl experience was like, to travel across the country to be part of Rutgers football. And that, I think, really started kicking things off. And then obviously the next year we probably, you know, surprised a lot of people, but you go 11-2 and, you know, have one of the better teams in the country. I think that kind of cemented it, but I think it was a journey and it was a process. Started in 04, obviously being bowl eligible in 05, you know, kind of led to us being able to do what we did, you know, thereafter.
Well, Mike, let's talk about that at 2006 season. I mean, obviously, it built, right? I mean, there was a tough early season game against North Carolina. It was a narrow win, and you know, it just kind of built up to that Louisville game. What was, I guess, the feeling inside the team going into the season? Like, did you expect to eventually be on the stage that you ended up being, or was it just kind of like you're rolling with the flow?
You know, I think we were just blue collar workers. You know, we didn't have a ton of really highly recruited players, you know, 4 or 5 star kids. We had a couple sprinkled in, and, you know, Kenny Britt and, you know, Ray was still probably only a 3-star kid. But, you know, we kind of went in really, it started in the off season. We went into the off season going into the 06 year, and we just had a really great core of leadership. You know, the Brian Leonards, the Eric Fosters, the, you know, the Clark Harrises, the Joe Giacobis, the just the seniors that have kind of been through it all. And we, as the young group, where the young group was probably a little more the nucleus of the team, but we were able to follow these leaders that have been through it and knew how to work and knew how hard it was to win college football games. And really the off season built a bond with that team. And I think that's probably the closest team that I've ever played on. You know, we would hang out together in the locker room. We would hang out together off the field. And it wasn't like the receivers with the receivers, the DBs with the DBs, the O-linemen with the O-linemen. The 06 team, the O-line hung out with the DBs. The DBs hung out with the receivers. The quarterbacks hung out with the kickers. It was a true family, and it was special because you don't always get that. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, the success that we're able to have, you know, winning close games early in the season, you know, against North Carolina obviously sets the tone. And then you come back and you beat Illinois 34-0, and you start to gain some confidence and some momentum starts. And all of a sudden the stadium's full, and it's a cool thing to go to a Rutgers football game. And, you know, and it takes off pretty quick from there.
It took off very quick, and it all built up into that Louisville game, you know, prime time. There was an energy that, you know, you mentioned your first game in 2004, the Michigan State game, how it was the first sellout, and who knows how long the energy there. You felt something brewing. So I guess talk me through, you know, being down on the field, in the huddle, on the sideline of that Louisville game, then the ultimate feeling when you guys, you know, came away victorious and everything that you had built come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, that whole Louisville game, everyone talks about the game. It's really the whole week. It started on Tuesday when we were out of practice, and there was 15 TV cameras, you know, following practice, trying to do interviews with the players after to talk about, you know, this big match that we had coming up, something that we had never had before. And then with the students outside waiting for tickets and Coach Shiano bringing them pizza and just it was a circus. It really was leading up to that game. You get on the bus, you know, as you're getting ready to go to the stadium the day of the game, and Route 18 is literally a traffic jam, which, you know, if you knew the traffic that would be over the bridge as you were on 18 going towards the stadium, if the traffic backed up over the bridge towards College Ave, you knew it was going to be a crowded game. And the traffic was backed up all the way down, you know, past Commercial Ave. It was unbelievable. You walk through the Scarlet Walk, and there's tens of thousands of people. I think the biggest thing, or the most memorable thing for me that didn't pertain to actually playing the game, was running out of the tunnel right as, you know, as kickoff was getting ready. The team runs out of the tunnel, and just the white towels waving in the stadium. And it's just an energy and electricity that you can't replicate. I don't know if we'll ever be able to have that again. I think that was a one-time thing. I think we've had a lot of exciting games there since, but just that night, the confidence, the energy, the setting, the story of the game, how it unfolds. I mean, it's what you kind of think about when you make a movie.
Mike, my heart starts beating fast whenever I talk about that game. I mean, I just, unbelievable. Now, personal to you, what was it like, I guess, being the starting quarterback during this pretty epic rise of the Scarlet Knights football program?
I mean, it's really the reason why I stayed home. Did I think it was going to be like that? Not really, because it was pretty damn cool. But it was the reason, that vision that Coach Shiano had sold about staying home and making Rutgers football an important piece of New Jersey. It was the coolest thing in the world. My friends, my family were here. My family had 60 season tickets when I played. So they got to watch every game. It was a family reunion every weekend. I would go back up home to North Jersey, and I'd go to the mall, and people would stop and take pictures and want to talk about Rutgers football. And you were almost like a rock star for a couple of years there. It was pretty crazy. And that's everything that you want for New Jersey and everything you want for Rutgers football. It was really cool. And to be able to kind of be the catalyst that, you know, handed the ball to Ray and threw the ball to Brian and, you know, Kenny and Taekwon and Sean Tucker and Timmy Brown, all those guys, you couldn't have drawn it up any better. I was so fortunate to be there at a time with so many good players on both sides of the ball, and really a perfect storm in the way that the 06 season happened and, you know, led us into playing, you know, four straight bowl games. I started three straight games in the postseason, and we won all three. I mean, it was a great, great run.
You know, it built up to something special in that 2006 and then the seasons that followed. But obviously, when you first started at Rutgers, you redshirted your first year and your redshirt freshman year, you struggled a little bit. How did you get through and keep building to become the quarterback that you ultimately became? Was there someone there along the way? Was there a message that you went by every day?
You know, I think as a college player, I think there's a lot of people that are able to influence you. I think, you know, the head coach is probably one of the most important guys, Coach Ciano. Him and I built a really great relationship, and he was a guy that I was able to lean on because he had been through it as a coach, you know, in the hard times where people were down on him, where people would kind of get after him, where they said he wasn't the right guy. You know, I think in football, the two most important guys, the two guys that get all the credit when it's good is the head coach and the quarterback, and when it's bad, they're the two guys that get all the blame, and they get too much credit when it's good, and you get too much blame when it's bad. So he was someone that I was able to really lean on. John McNulty, who was kind of taken over as a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, he was someone that I relied on and I was able to talk to and really, you know, learn a lot from. You know, I think the struggles as a young player, most of the time aren't physical. You know, you're talented enough to do it. It's the mental part. It's being able to recognize and see coverage and see defenses and be able to take it from the practice field to the game field, and be able to make decisions in split seconds. And the only way you get good at that is by actually playing. You know, you can be trained and you can work on it in the off season and in practice and training camp, but the way to actually do it is play. And I was thankful that I was able to play as much as I did my freshman year. I think that really, you know, led to me being able to come into my sophomore year, first year as a starter, and really play much better than I did as a freshman. And I think as you look at my sophomore year in 06, I played much better as the year went on. And by the end of the year, I think I was confident enough, and I think the coaching staff was confident enough to put the ball in my hand and say, let's go win the game. Whereas early on in the year, it was, let's make sure you just don't lose the game for us. And I think that's the maturation period for any young quarterback.
Mike, what were some of, I know we talk about that Louisville 2006 game. Jake and I off air earlier were talking about the 2008 game against Louisville, I guess senior night, where you threw for like a billion yards and like 100 touchdowns. What were some of your, I guess, best moments and best memories from your time here at Rutgers?
Well, I mean, for me, I've thought about it a lot now. It's been a long time since we played in those games and since I was part of that team. You know, from a team standpoint, you can't top the 2006 Louisville game. I mean, there's really nothing you can say that is going to be better than that from the team perspective. You know, it was just a night that was so magical, that was so important to the program, that was so important to Rutgers football. And to be able to be a part of that was unbelievable. You know, you just kind of hit on it. The 08 game, from a personal standpoint, it was like a video game. I couldn't miss a throw. They couldn't cover anyone. We couldn't drop a ball. It was unbelievable. It was like something like six touchdowns in the first half or something like that. But I think for me, the best personal or the most important personal memory was the 2008 Pittsburgh game, where we were struggling early on in that season. I was struggling. Our receivers were struggling. It was, we weren't meshing for whatever reason. And we go out to Pittsburgh and throw five touchdowns in the first half. And I think it ended up being up six for the game. And we beat a ranked Pittsburgh team when kind of everyone was counting us out, which kind of propelled us. That was our second win in a seven game win streak to finish out the season. So I think for me, with the critics saying that I should be benched, that they should put the next quarterback in, that, you know, it's time to look to next year. We were able to rally together and I played well and the rest of the team played well and we were able to rattle off some wins there. That was probably personally the best moment for me to be able to do that, because that kind of set us straight and catapulted us going forward.
You mentioned when things are going good, the two people that get the most credit are the head coach and the quarterback. So I obviously have to ask you, you know, about Coach Ciano, you know, being in the locker room with him every day. Do you have any specific memories, any fun stories about your time with him?
I was talking to someone just the other day because we were talking about Jay Cutler. And so my true freshman year, we're playing Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's in the SEC, and they're beating us 24-3 at halftime, and all the Southern Nashville people in the stands are telling the Yankees to go back home because they don't know how to play football. And that whole week, the theme of the week was putting the ingredients together, like you're baking a cake. You know, you have to get the ingredients and you have to prep the ingredients and you have to put them together and then you have to put it in the oven and you have to let it bake. And then finally you get a result. And what the result is a baked cake or it's a win. So the theme that whole week was this baked cake. And we're down 24-3 at halftime. We come out of the locker room and we somehow come back and win the game. I forget what the final score was, but it was close at the end. And we go in the locker room after the game, and there's a baked cake there. And Coach picks up the cake, and he's talking to the team, and he starts going crazy about how we baked the cake, and we finished the cake, and it's time to eat the cake. And he just smashes it right in his face, and the whole locker room goes crazy. We destroyed the locker room. There's cake everywhere. There was people throwing water. It was one of the funniest things, and then one of the things that you could just see it from looking back on it now. Coach Cosciano's perspective, he had put so much work into trying to get Rutgers to where we were at that point and to finally start to see some results. Because for a couple of years, they were getting better, but there weren't any results on the field. But they finally were able to – he was finally able to create some results on the field. And I think it was a culmination of a lot of hard work. And that's one of the better, you know, Cosciano stories. And I think the team really kind of bought into what he was saying after that.
Mike, we see kind of all over Twitter people sharing their fond memories of Greg as the head coach. You still refer to him as Coach Cosciano, which I think shows how much respect you have for him. I guess what were the biggest takeaways for you from having, I guess, spending your career under Coach Cosciano from the recruitment process through, you know, senior night? You knew him he was in your life in that way for a very long time. What were some of like the biggest takeaways personally, on the field and off the field that you got from Coach Cosciano?
I know a lot of people talk about Coach as a, you know, a micromanager and a guy who, you know, doesn't always make the right decisions on game day and this and that. He's I'm a little biased because I've played for him and he's been an important piece of my life for a long time, like he just said. But he's a guy who is passionate about what he does. He's passionate about, you know, about football, passionate about, you know, young men or really molding young men into, you know, into men that graduate college with degrees that are able to go be great fathers one day. I think one of the things that he always talked about was, you know, his role and his job was to mentor young people, to teach them how to be men. So when you lose your job one day or something in life happens, you're mentally tough enough and you're able to handle it because, you know, there's so many similarities to football and life. It's not always going to go the way you want it to go. How you react to it, I think, is the more important thing. And I think that's what he tried to teach us. And, you know, I've remained close with him since. And, you know, I think he's probably matured and learned along his career path as a coach. And I bet he's probably even a better coach now than he was back then. But he has been such an important figure, you know, for me in my life. And I know a lot of my former teammates feel the same way. And you'll always get people that don't necessarily feel that way. But he really was the reason why I went there. He was the reason why we turned that thing around. He's the reason why Rutgers is in the Big Ten right now. And I think, you know, a lot of people give him that credit, but I don't think a lot of people understand how important he's been for a lot of people, a lot of young men who he's molded into successful people after college.
So with all that said, you clearly, you know, he's the key to what built up this program to where it is in the Big Ten today. Now, with everything that's going on, do you feel the only person that can rebuild this program is Greg Cosciano?
I wouldn't say the only person. I'm sure there are people that would do a great job if given the opportunity. I think it's an important. I was talking to someone last night. Someone called me and asked me, you know, what my thoughts were about this, you know, the coaching situation and Coach Cosciano coming back. Yeah, I do personally think that Coach is the right guy and would do a great job because he's been there and he's done it before. He understands the dynamics of Rutgers. He understands the dynamics of New Jersey and high school coaches and high school players. So I think that if he were to have an opportunity or if he would want to come back, I think he would do a tremendous job. I really do. But on the same token, I also think that there are a lot of really good coaches out there. And there's a lot of people who if given the opportunity, would work hard, develop relationships, and do a great job. You know, that's not my decision, thankfully. But it, you know, if Coach Shiano were to come back, I think it would ignite the people of New Jersey. It would ignite the high school coaches and the high school players, because he's been there and he's done it before. And it's a little different now. I tell a lot of people when he was doing it, it was against the Big East, which it was a great conference. Don't get me wrong. I played in it. We played against a lot of very good players, guys who you know, will someday be in the Hall of Fame in the NFL. But it's not the consistency that the Big Ten East demands. So it definitely is a different job now than it was back then. But I think he would do a great job if he did get the opportunity.
Mike, thank you so much for taking the time today and joining us on the WRSU crew.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Mike Teal, the all-time leading passer in Rutgers football history, a legend, and somebody who I've been a personal fan of for a very long time.